And it is Talofa Lava, and welcome to our next guest. We're going to talk about play in the classroom and how to get more of it. The teacher and in-school consultant on a mission to bringing more play in the primary school classroom, Sarah Aono, has found a company which supports teachers to incorporate more play into the school day. She says the value of play as a learning tool can be misunderstood, but it's vital for children to develop their critical, creative, innovative and problem-solving skills. Sarah says there's a growing movement of primary school teachers passionate about bringing play back to Kiwi kids. Sarah's chief executive and co-director of Longworth Education and joins us from the Napier studio. Kia ora and talofa and welcome.
Kia ora, Catherine. Lovely to be here.
Now, let's talk about how play is going. We think of it as being sort of automatic in the school day, but the school day is pretty crushed. And how would you describe opportunity for play, both in class and in breaks, in 2021?
Wow, it's probably one of the most challenging aspects of teaching that I think our teachers face, particularly those who are really passionate about bringing play back into the school day. You know, the school day has for a long time really focused on particularly the delivery of core curriculum subjects, and we know that more recent policies have focused on a narrowing of the curriculum. And so over the last little while, there's been a really lovely movement of teachers starting to question that and looking at ways that we can not just necessarily throw the baby out with the bathwater, but try and get a more balanced approach to delivery of our curriculum, and play is a tool that we can use to do that.
So how do you recommend and how can teachers incorporate play in the classroom?
So one of the things that we do is we know, for example, that the research that I've been involved in and the work that we're doing with teachers now is there's an enormous amount of teachers that know and believe about play and its value, but there is that missing link around how. And it's really focusing in on how to support those really clear evidence-based teaching practices around play. We know, for example, that play involves time. Children need time to develop their creativity, they need to develop their thinking, even their social interactions, the way that they incorporate social problem solving with their peers. Just having time to see through an idea that they might have. And so the first thing we say to teachers is really start to look at the way that you design your day. Look for those opportunities where you can extend periods of time for children to be engaged in play. That doesn't mean that there's an absence of the delivery of those core curriculum areas, but it's about looking at how long we spend on those in proportion to the other areas of the curriculum that we're also required to teach as well.
Can you give some examples? Because it's funny how we separate play from the curriculum. Play, your whole point is, play is fundamental to learning for children.
Yeah.
Are there ways that it can be embedded in the curriculum, and do you advise teachers on that?
Yeah, well, actually, the curriculum states very clearly in a number of areas that children need opportunity to play. For example, in the science area of the curriculum, the nature of science recommends that children are engaged in play to broaden their investigative thinking around science and science concepts. So it's really, I think the first thing that we have to help teachers with, and this is a problem that we do find as teachers engage in the journey of learning around play, is that they don't understand the intent of the curriculum. When our curriculum came out in the late 2000s, there was a really quite a different shift in the way that the curriculum was worded, and its intention was there. We know it was lauded as a world-leading curriculum document. Unfortunately for teachers, it also happened at a crossover of policies, and so there wasn't the support there for teachers to be able to learn how to implement that curriculum. So there's a lot of misunderstanding about that. So it's around getting back to actually helping our teachers dive deep into the curriculum to know what they're looking for. One of the things that I think a lot of adults struggle to is that they don't understand the learning that's in front of them when play's happening. They see play through an adult lens, and it's really helpful to be able to help adults, whether they're parents or teachers, watch play for a while, and alongside what we know about the curriculum, help to be able to identify the curriculum in the play. And then from there, that gives us a really a good guide as to what our role is in supporting that learning further.
Does it need to be separated? Does it need to be separated in time? Or I guess what I was getting at, are the resources that can incorporate within a lesson an opportunity? I guess it would be good to elaborate a little bit more on what play is. The whole point is for it not to be too structured, right?
Yeah. So there are a number of different phrases that get thrown around, you know, free play, child-led play, you know, student-led learning, self-directed learning, agency. There's all these great terms for it. But basically, it's about having children be able to make their own choices and decisions about how they learn and what they want to learn. Now, that can be a really, really scary thing, particularly when you've got 25 or 30 kids in the class and teachers are wondering how that might look. But it's actually a little bit more to do with the teacher enabling conditions for children to be able to follow some of their own ideas and interests and do that particularly through play. Now, we know with children who are younger that play can look at times a little bit less focused, I guess. Children are plopping from one thing to the next when they play, but that's part of their developmental stage in which they're investigating the world around them. As children mature, play can start to take the form of pursuing interests and ideas and playing with ideas and playing with thinking and making stuff and experimenting and testing things out. And so the teacher's role when we're looking at play, you know, you ask about whether it's a separate thing from learning, it's actually about the teacher recognising how to support the children to pursue those interests and coming in alongside them, at times knowing the right tool for the job. Sometimes the tool for the job is to support children to play independently, so just creating the conditions for that play so that they can explore without an adult beside them. Other times it's knowing that they need that support, so coming in alongside and being scaffolding the learning, I guess, or supporting them in the moment that they need that support. And then other times there's perfectly legitimate reasons for teacher direction and coming in and saying, no, this is, you know, I need to teach you this skill so that you can take that back to your play and apply it to, in how you want to use it in your play. So it's a real range of tools within a kete that teachers have. It's actually one of probably the most complex way of teaching for teachers to be able to know how to integrate the concepts of play into their curriculum delivery.
So what do you do with them? Walk us through an example perhaps where you've worked with a teacher or with a school.
Yeah, so one of the things that I've worked on over the last 6 years, I've been involved with doctoral research with Massey University around this, and what we wanted to do was try and help teachers bridge the gap between, as I say, what they know and believe and what they do. So we have developed the Play-Based Learning Observation Tool. This is an observational tool of teacher practice. So what we do when we come into the classroom is we observe the teacher in a play situation. They may be complete novices. There may not be a lot of play going on, right through to a teacher who's been teaching through play for a while. And we use this tool to identify the extent of evidence in which teachers are using these evidence-based practices in their classroom, what we know is effective play pedagogy. From there, the teacher also does a bit of self-reflection. We have a couple of tools that help them with that. And then we sit down, we have a conversation with them, and we talk about what's their next step? What is it that they want to be able to improve on in their teaching practice so that they know that they're enabling the conditions for play so that the children can then receive the outcomes that we know that the research tells us play provides. And we use a process called practice-based coaching to work the teachers through those practice steps.
What are some of the basics? For example, you talk about sort of constituent parts, loose parts.
Yeah.
Is this the case where you give the kids some loose parts, say, in a construction task or a block building task or, I don't know, a science task, and then see what they do with it?
Yeah, pretty much. We want to be able to make sure we've got a learning environment that enables children to explore, to not have restrictions on being creative. So we don't necessarily want them to be focused on creating a product for someone else. We want them to be able to start to follow their own nose, I guess. And then as we observe that and we start to see what it is that they are interested in or they're trying to do, what urges they have. We talk to teachers a lot about these schematic patterns of thinking or urges, as commonly known here in New Zealand. And children may have, as you mentioned, a strong construction urge. We've seen children who have some ideas around wanting to build a fort, for example. And so as we start to see the fort being built and listen to what the kids are trying to do. Teachers are gathering that information, and from there are thinking about how they can support the child further. So it might be that they bring in some GJ Gardner booklets on house construction. They might have a favourite picture book on how different houses are built, or a favourite character in a book. They might choose a YouTube clip that shows the construction of a house. Anything that just gives the children a little bit more knowledge that they can then choose to apply back into their play. The other thing that we support teachers a lot to do is thinking very carefully about their language. Teachers tend to ask a lot of questions. That's how we're trained. But in a play situation, we actually need to do less question asking and thinking very strategically about how we interact with children, so that we don't necessarily influence what they're doing, but we can gift them knowledge in the moment that they need it to be able to build on what they're trying to do.
It's very interesting. I think you've had some teachers say to you that they're going back to how they used to teach.
Yes, yeah. I've had teachers in tears, happy tears, and I've had many teachers say that they couldn't possibly think of another way to teach now. I think what teachers really enjoy the most is the enjoyment that they see in children, engagement from kids, and a motivation to learn. And we know those are really critical factors in success at school. Children wanting to come to school, children who are arriving and throwing their bag in and they're straight out back to that construction project that they're working on with their friends. And so it's about really harnessing that engagement and looking at it as a tool to help the learning rather than an aside to the learning. It's such a powerful pedagogical approach.
Thank you, Sarah Aono of Longworth Education.